have a word to write on the board today, and a message to speak about that word. The term I've written here is envy. There's no use wasting time explaining. The Lord's put that on my mind all week, so I'm going to try to work with it and ask your prayers that He'll bless it. Just leave it at that. I'm thinking, first of all, in Scripture in Proverbs 27th chapter in the 4th verse. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Envy and jealousy are two of the most negative passions of which humans are capable. I didn't really realize the magnitude of them until I began to understand how the Scripture uses those words. Our King James, I can't really say it doesn't carry the meaning of them, but they're more intense than our words say. The strongest expression of passion we have from the Lord, for instance, one of them is, He is a jealous God. And He means by that, He is absolutely requiring in what He does. Or the Scripture that says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Zeal is defined in the old Chaldee language in two ways. One has to do with patriotism, which is the greatest of loyalties. But the second changes that just a little bit. It's when a passion is inflamed because of terrible desire, like Cain had when he rose up against Abel. He did that out of jealousy and envy. Or as occurred in Jesus' crucifixion, the Scripture said that the Roman authorities knew that for envy they delivered Him up. Envy means a feeling of darkness, of discomfort, because of watching someone else succeed. It makes you feel bad about it. And here's what the Scripture said concerning it. Wrath is cruel. Well, people do things when their anger is stirred that they wouldn't do at other times to hurt someone. We've had some recent examples of that in the world around us. Our leaders have been trying to stir our passion because of abuse that's taken place of children over in Syria. And we've made a serious effort to make us respond to that. Do things to that country we wouldn't do if it weren't for that. So wrath is cruel. Anger, which means rage, is outrageous. Someone who's truly angry and nearly lose control of themselves. And it's outrageous to do the things they do. I think of a carpenter I used to know. He'd get angry because a board didn't fit like he wanted to and throw his hammer. And it'd go right through the wall. And when he got done, he had to go patch the wall. It's outrageous. It's foolish. It helps nobody. But anger is like that. When it's unbridled, it just does outrageous things. It tears things up and destructive. But envy is worse than either one of those, according to the Scriptures. Envy means to be grieved for another's happiness. Envy is more deeply rooted than either wrath or anger. And envy is more implacable. Envy is more dangerous than other human passions, negative passions, because it's undercover. If you do somebody to make them angry with you, you probably know what you did. And you probably have an idea why they're feeling like they do. But someone can get envious of someone else, and the other person have no idea that that's taken place. And yet it creates a dark cloud of malice that colors the whole relationship that ought to exist between them. So envy's dangerous.
And the Lord doesn't want us to be envious of one another. And I'd like to read you a second scripture concerning it. This one's pretty bad. It's in the first of Romans, the 28th verse beginning. Speaks of people who did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means one that doesn't like to think about good things, that dwells on the things that are dark and unpleasant and difficult. Now, all of us are going to find things along our journey of life that hurt us or disappoint us. Everyone will have a reason to feel hurt at someone else along the journey. But being bitter toward someone else is like drinking poison, hoping it'll make your enemy sick. In the end, all that bitterness really does is transform you or me, the person who has it. To be envious of someone else makes a whole, it takes the sweetness and the brightness out of the sunshine and makes life dark instead. Well, this is what a reprobate mind is, to do those things which are not convenient. It almost means appropriate to say convenient, but it means a little bit differently from that. It means things that are profitable to yourself. It's convenient for neighbors to get along. We neighbors up on a little hill over here, we get along with each other. We're going to be gone a while. We call them up and say, if you see a truck backed up to the door of my house and people loading out my furniture, well, please don't just help them. And we do that for each other. That's convenient. But if I get in a quarrel with him and we can't talk to each other anymore, that's not convenient. That's what it means to do things that are not convenient. It comes from a reprobate mind, being filled with all unrighteousness. And it's got an awful list of words here. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Well, you don't want to talk about all of those words or talk about envy, because it also connects with being whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's a dark list, isn't it? Have you ever felt envy? You don't have to lift your hand, because I already know the answer. Old Father Adam did something to us that makes every one of us capable of feeling envy. The roots are in us. I can say that this way. In order for Eve to be caught in the temptation, she needed a serpent. But Cain didn't need a serpent. And none came to him. There was already something in him that came of itself. And that's what brought the trouble. And you and I, everyone, are born with that same capacity. If we allow our own carnal instincts to govern our lives, they will destroy every one of us in time. We need something greater than we are to lift us above ourselves. All humans are capable of feeling envy. All reasoning capable humans can feel envy. Well, envy takes its forms. As I said, it's a hidden thing. Someone can be envious of another, and the envied person have no idea. Never even occurred to me that that person wanted what you had. But it causes them to do secret things. Be a whisperer. Whisperer and backbiter are closely linked together. And what they basically mean is being willing to say things behind somebody's back that you wouldn't want to say to their face. Have you ever heard somebody do that? I've heard folks sometimes come and testify things in meeting, and I think if the person you're speaking of were here, you wouldn't talk about them that way. They might get to tell the other side of the story, if it were so. Well, an absolutely honest approach of life would call us to not be whisperers, to not be backbiters, to be careful in the words that we say concerning one another. The old devil knows that too. He would like to fill every one of our lives with briars and thistles. And one of the ways that he does it is to cause people to envy, and as a consequence of their envy, to whisper and backbite against one another. And then when you meet that person, it's hard to look them in the eye. It's hard to be hearty in their presence. You ever seen that situation take place? Two folks been talking about somebody, and each of them knows what they said and what the other said. And then the person talked about comes along, and they're all there together. And there's something you can feel there. Well, the old devil wants to make that bigger than it already is. But let me give you an example. In 1 Samuel, 18th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse, it's talking about David and Saul, and it's a very poignant passage of Scripture, and I entreat the Lord to bless it to our understanding today. Came to pass, the Scripture said, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, and the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And in my commentary say that was set up this way. The returning army was going through a pass with a hillside on each side. And these people who were rejoicing were some on one side and some on another. And it was like a chorus singing. The ones on one side sing, Saul has slain his thousands. And those on the other side sang, but David his 10,000s. And the soldiers marched through that sound echoing back and forth. You would think that anybody whose primary interest was to keep Israel from being captured by the Philistines, who were a most cruel people, would say, if we've got some people here who only managed to kill one of them, that's better than killing none. Those people meant to hurt us. Our men have gone out there and risked their lives to face this. If we've got a man over here who kills not one but thousands of these, well, thank the Lord for that man. We need more like him. And if we got somebody else who can kill 10,000, we don't get rid of him. We want every one of them we can get. That's what you would think they would think. But somehow, it's so deep in people to feel envy against one another, it's like Saul forgot about the Philistines. What mattered to him was, David's getting elevated above me. But look at his situation, if you would, for a moment. Saul failed God, and God sent a prophecy on Saul that he was going to have to give up the kingdom. There was a time when that wasn't important to him, but there also came a time when it was about the most important thing there was in his world. He was willing to kill people to keep his kingdom. He was willing to do nearly anything to see his son take his place when the time came. And Saul said concerning this, Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And they said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed 1,000s. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Saul came to hate David. I don't know what else you'd call a passion that would make a man willing to take somebody else's life. In a place that ought to be a place of safety, of all things. So this scripture I've read to you details the start of Saul's hatred of David. It began out of his own failure. It's couched in envy. His failure was that the Lord had called him to do something, and he didn't succeed in doing it. And because of that, God prophesied concerning him that he was to lose the kingdom. He's looking for who it's likely to be that's going to be his successor. One of the things that makes envy most dangerous is when people start backing up on the Lord That's what got Cain in trouble. And that's what got Saul in trouble. And it is still what has brought enormous amount of misery in the world today. I could almost fairly say, if you could look around at the mistreatment and the heartbreak that's in the world today, an awfully lot of it traces right back to this very thing, being discontent with their place. But be fair. If you were the king and you were listening to somebody else being exalted over you, could you take it? It isn't easy. It isn't easy for an older person to see a young one rising up and be promoted higher than they have been and recognized more than they have been. In my lifetime, I've seen a lot of older men cling to positions that they should have given up long ago. Henry Ford's an example. Henry Ford had two sons. When the time came that Henry Ford thought he should retire, he turned the business over to his oldest son. But Henry Ford didn't just retire. He kept coming into work every day, and every decision that his son made, he changed it. He told his son he thought he was doing wrong. He scolded him and criticized him in front of the people he was supposed to be overseeing. Until finally the boy couldn't take it anymore and he just left. Well, that left Henry Ford with one son and he was younger. He couldn't take it back over. That's why he was giving it up in the first place. But it's not easy. It's not easy when you built something to see somebody else take it over. And you feel like they're doing it wrong. And you feel like they don't understand all you put into it. So Henry Ford came to his younger son and said, well, I guess it falls back on you. And his younger son looked him in the eye and said, absolutely not. He said, I saw what you did to my brother, and you're not going to do that to me. I'm willing to take the business, but you're going to get clear away from it if we're going to do it. Because you got a passion in you. You're a human. You got envy. You will second guess my decisions. You will whisper and backbite against me. You'll criticize me in front of the employees. You make it impossible for me to do the job. No way. No way. And that's when he had to step back and realize that it's time to turn it over. That's a human passion. That's not God's way, folks. God wants us to have something deeper and better than that. So Saul, what more could he have but the kingdom? Saul's attitude toward David went through three steps, and this is the first of them. Hatred, jealousy of his fame. And it came because of this. Everybody who loves to be recognized will someday face the bitter feeling that Saul faced. Somebody else will take your place. I think that's true in our congregation. May I say it? Every Sunday school teacher needs to realize that your service is temporary. Someday somebody else is going to take that position. The Lord wants Sunday school teachers to be so sanctified that you can sit out in the class that's being taught by somebody where you used to teach and not criticize them and not fault find them. Be a dedicated supporter of what they're trying to do. It's so easy to look at it and say, but it should have been this way or that way. And same with our board of trustees. Everyone who serves on the board of trustees will someday be replaced by someone else. If you can't do it graciously, you got some whispering and backbiting. That is an indication, really, that you weren't qualified to do it in the first place. It's the very same thing that Saul was getting into here. But that's a common lot of life. There's no avoiding it. What's important is not that you be recognized or I be recognized. It's that the work of God go forward. It's that the chapel be maintained. It's that the Sunday schools be taught. It's that the gospel be preached. And when the Lord wants to lay one tool down and pick up another, that's His business. And He has a right to put you or I back in the toolbox whenever He wants to. But there are forces that would cause us to be otherwise, and they'll cause trouble in time if we yield to those things. No use to deny it. As I mentioned before, I'm convinced that every human being is born with a capacity to feel that way. And so Saul, his passion moved from hatred to action. Came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Lord, help us with these things this morning. An evil spirit from God. Saul, if you read his whole story, he was an impetuous man. Peter was a lot like Saul. When the prophet came to get Saul, he didn't just humble down. He took extraordinary steps. He hid himself. And when Saul got in trouble later on in his life, instead of knowing where to go, he went to the witch of Endor. There was a time when Saul was threatened for his throne, as he felt, from David. And he caused a whole company of priests to be murdered almost before his face. He's a wild man. When he gave in to his passions, I mentioned to you how that anger is outrageous. Well, Saul was a man and let himself be beset by anger. And he did this in anger. It's not a reasonable thing. Someone who's just been credited with killing 10,000s of the enemy, we've still got an enemy. We need people like that. But this one thing is in my mind. This irritates me. I'm about to be usurped. Somebody's praised higher than I am. I can't stand it anymore. Don't argue with him. Don't just wild. Grab the sword and throw it at him. The javelin or the spear. And stick it in the wall. And if it hadn't been the mercy of the Lord, he would have killed David, no doubt, there on the spot. Just wild. And another illustration of it is how the scripture said Saul there in his palace, wherever he was, he prophesied. And that doesn't mean that he spoke the things of God. It means he was ranting and raving like a wild man. People would come up to him, you can hear him muttering under his breath. That guilty fellow, if I ever get a chance, I'll spatter his blood all over everywhere. Ever since he's been here, he's been nothing but trouble and disappointment. I'd love to see anybody take his place. I'll get him if it's the last thing I ever do. That's what he's talking about. It doesn't mean he was saying the things of God. It means he was saying strange, wild things until folks looked at him and said, he's out of his mind. He's not even reasonable. Who can, it's hard enough to subdue somebody when they're just a normal person, but if it's a king and they start acting like that and we're supposed to obey his orders, this is crazy. Nobody can possibly follow something like that. What are we going to do? Well, the answer was David. And when people become beside themselves, you see how he did it? The scripture said, an evil spirit from the Lord. I'll come back to the music part in a moment. An evil spirit from the Lord. But what it really means is this way. Not that God has evil spirits that he holds in his hand to send to do his bidding. He visited Saul. And he dealt with his soul. And he made him feel where he was. And Saul rejected that. And he held on to it. And he closed up the doors against the Lord. Until it opened the channels. It isn't that the angel or that the evil spirit was in God's hand, but God knew when he dealt with Saul, if he doesn't receive it, it's going to do something else to him. And folks, you and I are just the very same way. We better be careful how we receive the dealing of the Spirit of the Lord, because when we reject it, it opens us to the passions that are already have their roots within us. To be envious, to be jealous, to be dark, to have hatred. And Saul gave into that. Have you ever seen someone in hysteria? I'm thinking of hysteria. Hysteria means you just give up control. You go crazy. Run around the room. Pull your hair. Roll on the floor. Hysteria. Almost everything we can do, we can control by our will if we want to. But if you decide under stress to give in to hysteria, you break something. And it's hard to stop it then. I've had some temptations that way. under extreme stress and had the Lord let me know, if you give in to that, your nerves are not going to be the same anymore, or you'll be different. It's a dangerous thing to do. Well, that's what Saul did. He just gave in to it. He was a wild man anyway. That was his tendency. All of us have a tendency. Peter would have been a very different man than he turned out to be if, when it came time to receive the Holy Ghost, he'd have told the Lord, no, I like the way I am. Impetuous and hasty before, twice as much after. The older we get, the more like ourselves we become. And whatever our tendencies are of carnal and evil things, they increase with age, unless we have something to make us different. Peter made the right choice. And the Lord took the tendencies that he had and used them for good, still being good to all of us. But Saul didn't. He went the other way. And the consequence was, when he turned himself loose, like a wild man, nobody could understand him and nobody could stop him. I don't know who else he tried to pin to the wall or hit with his scepter or step on their toes or run over them or anything else. It didn't matter. I'm the king. I'm wild. I'm not going to let anything stop me, because he'd set himself in the course that he was following to two great evils. He turned loose his passion and he would not be advised, and himself set himself in it. And there's only one thing that can happen. You pick up a spirit when you go that way. He couldn't soothe it. He got where he couldn't control it. But music and calmness, that's why they play it in a dentist's office, you know. You can play music that puts people on edge. You can play music that lets you drill holes in their teeth and give you a little bit of anesthetic in there and then drill holes in their teeth, and they'll just sit there and lay there. The music helps. It isn't everything, but it helps. That's what David was doing. It wasn't 100% successful, because in the midst of his playing, Saul took the javelin. Twice he did this and threw it at him again and nearly took his life. That's a consequence of envy, folks. That's what it leads to. So, if you put Saul and David on the same platform, say, even think of this rostrum as a platform, and stand them up here side by side at this point in their life. Each of them had been intended to have a bright, cheerful future, blessed with the Spirit of God. And there was a point where they almost passed one another while one was going up and the other was going down. And look where their courses led in the future. Saul gave in to his passion, and everything he touched from that time on went against him. It all turned bad. How many times have we seen those very same things in the world around us? So often, if we knew the reality, envy and jealousy are at the bottom of it. It's hard to get envy out of someone else's heart. You can't make peace with someone who has envy in their heart against you. There'll always be a distance. You can give every concession, but you cannot make someone not feel bad at having seen you be successful and them not be. But all of us have that to face at one time or another in life. Greatest athlete in the world, somebody else will beat him someday. What is it that you do? I was a carpenter. It's easier to pick on me than anybody. I tried to be a good carpenter, but I've seen guys that could blow me out of the water. Go out on the job and work as fast as I can go. And I've seen guys that could come out there and look like they'd get two or three times as much done in a day as I got done. That's the way life is. Athlete, can you run faster than anybody else? No. Somebody can run faster than you. Somebody can jump higher than you. Somebody's smarter than you. Somebody has written books that you can't even read. That's life. That's life. Envy will destroy you, because there's always somebody who can do something better than we can do. Who is able to stand against envy? The scripture said. So these two, once each of them had a bright future, and we almost watch them pass one another, one going up and one going down. And the one on the one hand became a great statesman, and succeeded in many things as much as any king ever did with Israel. And the other brought only heartache and sorrow until her name was just a hissing and reproach among the whole people who had known him. It wasn't God's plan to be that way. It's not God's plan that you and I be that way. I want to talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I are subject to the temptations of envy. I mentioned them as roots of envy, and they are deep within us. But folks, there is a power that is able to take out the root of envy, the root of bitterness, the roots of carnality. Thank God. There is a way to pray through these things. I don't think anybody ever does it by themselves. But I read the way these New Testament apostles treated one another. They who one time said to the Lord, who gets to be on your right hand and two on your left? And they came to the place that they preferred one another all the time. Would barely even mention their own names in the scriptures. And always supporting one another. Old brother Peter, he was the one who failed the Lord. All four of the gospels speak about his failure of the Lord, but nobody's as hard on him as Mark is. Mark's rough on Peter for his failure. And why is that? Because Mark was Peter's protege. It's almost as if Peter wrote the words himself. He made him look blacker than anybody because he wasn't trying to be the most important anymore. And why wasn't he? There was a time he did. Because he got filled with the Holy Ghost, folks. And if you and I want to live a truly peaceful life, we need to be filled with the Lord's Spirit. And it is amazing how far his power goes. When a person receives the Holy Ghost, it's a start. And he'll lead us in the thing. Receive the sacrifice we give him then, and he will lead us concerning the things that we offer him. But there are things we don't understand about ourselves. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the farther we follow him, the more he'll reveal about us. I'm trying to say this. I remember Brother Chandler telling us one time about forgiving. He said, I hear people say that it's easy for me to give and forgive. I just forgive. He said, if you feel that way, I don't think you've ever really forgiven. He said, I've been hurt so badly that I had to fast and pray for 3 days about it until I felt really clear about it. Do you know that's why the Lord went the third time to pray? Because his flesh was rebelling against the cross. And he didn't want to face it. And he prayed until he felt satisfied, but when he came back, thought it's not quite there yet. But he got it. He got it. He went down there and stood in front of Pilate. And while he was in trial for his own life, he dealt with Pilate about his soul. While he was hanging there on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he did that. So you and I, praise God, can have that very same power to move the root of bitterness out of our lives. It'll take some fasting and praying. It'll take some weeping sometimes. I'd rather weep to get that kind of help from the Lord than I would to be weeping because I feel bad because somebody got ahead of me or took advantage of me, or weeping still worse because I threw my hammer through the wall and now I got to go fix a hole. People throw their walls through lots of other, throw hammers through lots of other people's walls, don't they? With hurt words, with sharp sayings, with bitter things that you never quite get it back like it was before it happened. People do that to one another. Oh, folks, the Lord's got a better way than that. He wants us to be a peaceful people and to love one another. That's what His Spirit came for. It'll actually make a person whose tongue is like a snake's venom, so a little child can play with that rattlesnake and it don't get bit. It's all gone. It's all gone because they prayed through, because they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it makes a difference. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Saul lacked. That's what led to his destruction. That is what will lead to your and my destruction if we fail to take advantage of it. Lord, help us not to live our lives in envy. It's so hard to recognize who we really are sometimes. If you envy somebody, it makes everything they've got look bad. You can see something wrong with everything they do. And it's all their fault. It's so hard to look at yourself honestly and to say, how am I really feeling right now? And to admit, I feel like I do because it hurts me to see the other person advance over me. It's just hard to face ourselves and say that's really what's going on. It's easier to look at David and say this little whippersnapper. He didn't have nearly the skill or ability to take my place. The best thing I can do is just rid the kingdom of him right now. It's all his fault. David, you made me do it. I don't want to throw this spear at you. You made me do it. That's what envy does to us. We need the Lord to be a mirror to our souls and help us see ourselves. And that is only the beginning. But praise God, he has power to give us, to change us from glory to glory into what he wants us to be. That's my little thought this morning. I thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Try to make it as optimistic as I can. Don't want to accuse anyone of being envious, but I think we're all capable of it without the grace of God. Want to make very clear the answer. Folks, God's Spirit changes us and makes us gentle and peaceable people. He said concerning those in that very same scripture in Isaiah, concerning those people, a little child shall lead them. People are got envy in them. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had rising up against Moses. We're leaders like you are. When they got that in them, you can't administer in a way that won't disappoint them. They're looking for trouble. When people are not looking for trouble, you don't have to be so smart. You don't have to do everything right. A little child can lead them because they got a mind to get along. The Lord's got sheep, and he wants us to have a mind to love one another, respect one another, appreciate one another. And I close my little thought with a prayer. Lord, help me to live up to my own preaching the way you want me to be. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Amen.